The recordings are connected.
Thank you very much. Could I just ask everybody to mute if they are not speaking? And could you please just acknowledge that you are on the call when I call your name? Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the council call on the 25th of September. On the call, I hope we have Brett Fawcett. He's absent, and he has given his proxy to Ching Chow. Ching Chow?
Here.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
James Liddell?
Here.
Yoav Karen is absent, and he's given his proxy to James. Volker Greiman, I see, is not yet on the call. Thomas Rickert?
Present.
Gabriella Schlack is absent, and she has given her proxy to John Berard. John Berard?
Yes, ma'am.
Ryan Winterfeldt?
Present.
Peter Rindfeldt?
Present.
Osvaldo Nova? I don't think Osvaldo is yet on the call. Tony Holmes? Not yet on the call. Maria Farrell?
Hi, Glenn. I'm on the call.
Amar El-Sada? Not yet on the call. David Cake?
Present.
Magali Pazulo is absent, and she has given her proxy to Amar El-Sada. Avery Doria?
I'm here, thanks.
Klaus Stoll?
Present.
Daniel Reed?
Present.
Jennifer Wolf?
Yes, present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Patrick Miles, our CCNSO observer, is absent and has sent his apologies. And we have our guest on the call is Mason Cole. And for staff, we have Karen Lentz, who will be presenting. And for staff, we have David Olive, Marika Cornix, Rob Hogarth, Mary Wong, Steve Chen, myself, Glenda Saint-Cherie, Julia Chauvelin, and have I left anybody? David Olive, I'm sorry, did I say you, David? Lars Hoffman, and have I left anybody off? Marika reminds me that I haven't said her name, but I think I did. I'm sorry if I didn't, Marika, and you on the call. Jonathan, over to you. I think we have everybody.
Thanks, Glenn. Just to check if you confirm that Volker, Amma, and Osvaldo are all on the call now.
No. Amma is not on the call. Osvaldo is not on the call. And Volker is not yet on the call.
Yeah, well, they're in the chat, so we expect them to
they're
join.
They're in the chat, so they will join, yes.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO Council call on the 25th of September. We've got a reasonably full agenda. I hope we should be able to get through it in the time allotted, though. Picking up then after the roll call, as usual, we'll just call for any updates to statements of interest, please. Hearing none, I'll call for
Excuse me, Volker Greiman joins.
Thank you. Welcome, Volker.
Yeah, apologies. Little one took a little bit longer to put the bat. Sorry.
Congratulations. That's very exciting news anyway, and a distraction, I'm sure. If we could call for a review or any amendments to the agenda, under 1.3, John.
Jonathan, thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, John.
Okay. I want to just ask that a post-it note be put on the calendar so that we don't run the same problem next year. I know Gabby, I suspect Yoav are not here because of the holiday, and it would probably be good to make sure that our meetings don't conflict with any major religious holiday that would bar or prevent participation next year.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's unfortunate because we're missing, it seems, at least a couple of people because of that. Yes, fair point. We'll try and keep an eye out for it. It's difficult with all of the prospective international holidays, time zones, and so on, but I take your point. Glenn, I'm sure you'll note that as well when we plan out the calendar for next year, and we will make best efforts to accommodate the various issues that we have to. As far as the minutes from the previous council meeting are concerned, I think they're still in there. They still haven't come out yet, so apologies for that. We'll put them through the process in short order and get those out to the council shortly. Normally, we would go through the action list at the moment. I've scanned it through under item 2 and checked it, and it seems that there are really only a couple of points that are of substance and aren't covered in the main agenda. So those really pertain to, first of all, the expert working group final report. We were requested to provide feedback. To the best of my knowledge, we did not, and I'm casting my mind back, but I don't think we provided specific feedback. In addition, we have been requested to form a reasonably sized team by Steve Crocker, chairman of the ICANN board, but I think really in his capacity as a key participant in the expert working group. So my reading of Steve's letter, which you should have seen forwarded to you on the council mailing list, is that the essential request is for a handful of participants from the GNSO, meaning 4 or 5, and to work together with a board group to try and shape what the questions are and how we might work. You might remember that we had originally asked staff to try and clarify for us what the principal issues that needed a potential work on, and I think staff are probably, and maybe someone can help me here, holding back a little now that we've got that request from Steve. So question, are there any questions or comments around that? My suggestion to the list was that that we consider forming a team where we put a representative, not necessarily from the council, but we go out to our stakeholder groups and seek one per stakeholder group. James, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks. And I think that I would be happy to either volunteer or to round up a volunteer from my stakeholder group. My question, however, is I'm not 100% clear on what this group will be doing and what the expected output will be, and then what the receiving body or organization will do with that outcome. So, I think if we can nail down those questions in particular, I'd be glad to help provide someone, if not fill that role. Thanks.
Okay, I'd be happy to give a stab at that based on Steve's letter, but let me defer to John, who's got his hand up first.
Thank you, Jonathan. John Verard here. I forwarded a suggestion in response to your email that in formulating the committee of council members to participate, that strong consideration be given to appointing Susan Kawaguchi, who will take her place as BC councillor at the annual general meeting in L.A., I will admit it will be my undying loss not to be able to participate in such a thankful job. But Susan, who actually served on the expert working group and who now takes her seat as a counselor, might be a good asset for us as we navigate what I think is a narrow bridge between the recommendations of the report and the policymaking process. So I just, having done it in, on paper, I wanted to verbally suggest that Susan be strongly considered for that group.
Okay, thanks, John, and noted. And just recalling that we still have to come back and then clarify James's questions, and I'm still willing to do that, but I see Avery has her hand up. Just to make it clear, though, I don't see that we're necessarily seeking, and this is nothing to do with Susan, she may well be the best qualified candidate, we're not necessarily seeking council members here, although, you know, that's unclear, I guess, from the request, so that's a good point, but fire away. Avery, your hand.
I was just going to basically follow John's wise lead, and then all of a sudden I got a little nervous, and I was going to say something similar, though I'm not leaving the council. We have Stephanie Perrin coming in, who was also on the EWG, and I would strongly recommend that we have her as part of this group. Thanks.
Thanks. Could you just enlighten me as to which group Stephanie is? Group or constituency, Stephanie's?
NCSG.
Okay. James, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I think that this is excellent, and it's good that we're going to have two counselors, incoming counselors that were former members of this group. My only concern is that, you know, in the absence of, at least from my perspective, a clear understanding of what we're going to do, I'm not sure if, you know, we should just reconstitute the EWG or at least, you know, give deference to those members who have EWG experience. But, you know, or is this more of an implementation review team, you know, because that's an asset in those situations, but in, you know, in this aspect, if we are simply formulating questions that might later formulate, you know, the basis of a charter for a PDP or something, that's, you know, that's probably a different task. So I'm just trying to understand, and I know you're still waiting to answer that question, but I think perhaps without discounting the experience of Susan or Stephanie, maybe we should figure out what we want to do first, before we start throwing names into a hat. That's all.
Well, James, let me take a stab at what I think is going to happen, and then I'll welcome any support or challenges, support for or challenges against that. What I understand to have happened is we had an intractable problem with, in a very simplistic terms. For the first time, we tried an experiment. An expert working group was pulled together and did the work that they did. We, as the council and representing the GNSO's policy development function, made some noises at the time and said, that's fine. Well, it may be fine, but in any event, we have a policy development process and we need to make sure that's respected and understood and not in any way bypassed by this expert working group. We received the appropriate assurances, and the expert working group went on and did its work. It's now completed its work, and the question is, how does one now integrate that work or join that work up in some way with the GNSO's policy development process? And because the expert working group is, you know, the work of an expert working group is a unique experiment, it takes some expertise to try and figure that out. And I think that's what I understand the request from Steve Crocker is to say, well, give me some experts from the GNSO who potentially, and I think the suggestion may well be a good one, who potentially have knowledge of both the work of the expert working group and the mechanics of the policy development process and the nuances of the GNSO, to come together and say, well, given this report, given the way the GNSO works, how do we marry these two up now, and how do we get the right policy development process to kick off. So that's the way I understand the question. So this is, I don't think it would be correct to sort of make it, to talk about it as an implementation review team. It's a working group to bridge this hitherto uncharted type of work, that of the expert working group, with the policy development process. So that's my two cents worth on it. James, is that a hand in response to that, or in follow-up from that, or is it an old hand?
It's both, and just I'm confused because I thought the EWG was a PDP that was initiated by the board. So is a PDP, it's fine if a PDP is, feeding other PDPs, I guess that's, but I thought that their recommendations at some point were going to have to be presented to us intact, for some kind of an up or down vote. I don't know. And I really don't understand. And it's probably because it's so unusual that it's...
I stick by my interpretation. Let's hear what Marika's got to say, and then we'll go to Volker, who's next in the queue.
Yeah, so this is Marika. So, indeed, the board requested at the same time as they launched the EWG, they requested an issue report. And the issue report was specific to focus on GTLD registration data services, with the idea being that once the EWG would complete its work, those recommendations would feed into the final issue report, and then basically the next step would be form the working group and actually look at the EWG recommendations and as well other information that is provided at the issue report. So a PDP has indeed been started, and as it was a board-requested issue report, there is no intermediate vote of the GNSO Council on initiation. So in principle, it just moves on to the next step. And I think what we're basically trying to figure out through the conversation with the board is how that next step should actually happen. How do we actually make sure that the pieces come all together? I think there has been talk as well. Is there a way in which work needs to be split up? Of course, we're looking at as well a charter for a working group that would scope the exact questions that the PDP working group would be looking at. And this is, to a certain extent, I think the first time that we're in this situation with a board-initiated PDP that doesn't follow the traditional path. I think this is part of the exercise of talking to the board to really make sure that, on the one hand, the GNSO is comfortable with what the scope and the next steps are, but at the same time as well, that the board is comfortable with that as they were the ones who requested and initiated this process in the first place. I think that's where we're currently at, as I understand.
Yeah, so it feels like, having had that response, thanks, Marika, that just thinking about the constitution of the group in that respect, and I know, Avri, you've got your hand up. I'll come to you right in a moment, that one should be thinking about expertise in the subject matter, but also in the workings of a PDP. Avri, and then go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Avri speaking. I wanted to bring up two things. One is the issues report and the whole process was, with board's permission, I believe, put in a halt state. And I think that, yes, one of the things that will need to come out of this is completing that process. There's two points I want to put on the table about that. One is, now that the EWG final report has been out and there's been lots and lots of talking about it, I do think that we will need to sort of finish a comment period on the draft issues report, taking everything into account that's been done. And so that's one thing. And another thing I want to put on the table is that while the EWG definitely drives to some extent, or perhaps to a very large extent, the content of a PDP, that we are not necessarily limited to just issues or just solutions that were proposed by the EWG, and that the chartering post a final issues report would indeed be able to take things that had come in the comment period for the draft issues report, et cetera. And so I'm basically saying there's a lot of steps to do to get back into the path of a PDP. We halted it for EWG, but we should now continue it as it would be continued. And yes, we don't take a vote after the final. We just start working on the charter. We probably vote on the charter, I would think. But there's still a lot of steps to go through. Thanks.
It feels to me like some of those points you just made are what might be part of the work of this little group, this little working group that's proposed, is to try and assist with getting that back on track. And I think the board is not quite clear how to get it back on track. Paulka.
I think Avery is completely right. This needs to feed into a standard PDP, and I think the EWG has provided, I'm using a term here that has color, but I'm not using it in the color term, a straw man for the work of the PDP that has to be initiated now. But the end result has to be something that has been filtered through the standard multi-stakeholder process and through the community. So we have a draft, a straw man, a proposal, and now the community has to look at it, poke holes in it, and figure out what to do with it. And that's the work of a standard PDP that it might be in a limbo or pause state, and that we now need to officially kick off or get the ball rolling to start.
And again, I don't see any contradiction with what you've just suggested, Falco, and follow on from what Avery is saying with what's being requested from the board, unless I'm being in some way naive, but it doesn't strike me that that's the case. The objective of this little group is to try and build that bridge and get it back on track. Alan, your hand is up next.
Yeah, thank you. In listening to people, it strikes me that knowledge of the GNSO and the policy processes that are available, and I say processes because the discussions that are going on in the policy and implementation group, in fact, are taking some interesting turns, including talking to the GTLD division and, you know, understanding how they're going to be implementing things. It strikes me that knowledge of the policy processes is probably more important than knowledge of the EWG outcomes, and there's probably a danger in having too many people on that group who are part of the EWG, in that there may be a tendency for them to push what the report said, as opposed to looking for how the next step can modify it as necessary, you know, based on a PDP. So I think we need to be careful. We're not just doing a rubber stamp of the EWG in setting up the processes to follow. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Maria?
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, I actually want to support some of these that Alan was just saying. About not rubber stamping this EWG report, because there's, to my mind, there's been a fair amount of ambiguity about the status of the EWG report and whether it could or should constitute an issues report for a GNSO PDP. And it sounds like the message we're now getting is that it broadly does not constitute an issues report. And I certainly welcome that, because I think in the NCSG, you know, we had long-standing concerns with how representative the appointed group was, the EWG to begin with. And then when it produced its report in June, a member of the NCSG, an incoming councillor, Stephanie Perrin, produced a dissent to the report, you know, which I think was quite damning in some respects. And I don't think we've seen a proper answer to a lot of the questions or challenges and issues that Stephanie proposed. So I think we need to step very, very carefully with this. Has the sort of knee-jerk response of, oh, the board is telling us to do things, and we'd rather not. But I think we really need to be very careful of the strength of a straw man proposal such as this one. The debate then becomes, well, everybody is either for it or against it, and it tends to dominate the discussion to a degree which isn't entirely healthy. Given that certainly some parts of the council have really quite profound concerns with how the EWG report came to its conclusions and what some of them are. So I'm just basically saying, sounding a note of caution in how we deal with the EWG report, how we prepare an issues report, and then ultimately how we charter the PDP that will go forward. Thanks.
Thanks. And I should note in the chat that there were some sort of a couple of expressions of support from John and Falker for Alan's points, which were made earlier in the conversation. This is turning out to be a slightly bigger topic than I had envisaged, but let's make sure we hear from Marika and then Amma, and then we'll try and bring it to some kind of position.
Yeah, this is Marika. I also typed it in the chat, but I really want to make clear that, as I understand it, it was never the intention that the EWG report as such would be the final issue report. I think the whole idea, at least from the staff's perspective, was that as part of the final issue report, we would also incorporate the EWG recommendations, like we've also included, you know, information about other previous efforts, so that a PDP working group, as it starts, basically has all the information it needs on the subject to start discussing and basically to start deciding, well, is this something we need to discuss further, yes or no? You know, do we need to get input on it? You know, what do people actually think about it? And I think that's, and indeed, that is what an issue report is really about, scoping the issue, make sure that all the information about the issue is available on the table, you know, lighted from different perspectives that, you know, we're able to find. But I don't think it was ever the intention that the EWG would be producing an issue report, you know, without going through the normal channels as you do. So as that, you know, at least from staff perspective, the whole idea would be just to add the EWG report to what we already have as a preliminary issue report, as another set of information and recommendations that have been provided by an expert group, so that the PDP working group has all that information at its hands to start considering as they look at the issue.
Thanks, Marika. I've got Amma in the queue next.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amma. Two points, actually. First point is, I was personally under the impression that the expert working group final report would serve as the final issue report of this PDP. It's news to me now that it isn't. That is the impression I was left with, I think, back in Singapore. But my main point is that from a process perspective, this PDP is quite messy, because normally this process, even in a board-initiated PDP, there would be a public comment period that is allowed between following the preliminary issue report. And from a context perspective, that's pretty useless in this process, because there's been a year and a half now between when the preliminary issue report was published and when the final issue report will eventually be published. It's been a year and a half so far, because the preliminary issue report was published back in March of 2014. And so the ICANN community has been deprived of the opportunity to provide any comments on this issue report, which, as Marika put it, kind of scopes the issues of what should be included in the PDP. And I think that's to me is very problematic. I know I've raised this issue in the past, and but I thought it'd be prudent to raise it again now. Thanks.
Thanks, Amma. Volker, I think that's an old hand, so if I could ask you to take that down if it is. It feels to me like we've got a request from Steve Crocker, we've got an expert working group report, we've got an issue report that's precursor to a PDP, and it's a matter of trying to bring this together. I just remind you that Steve's note to me that the council has seen was that he says the expert working group is a solid piece of work report, a solid piece of work, and intended to provide a much stronger basis for moving forward with a PDP than we've had before. So it's quite clear we made a strong point as the council much earlier in the process, and it seems to me acknowledging that the PDP is still the way that this work's going to be done. I understand the concerns that people have made about the sort of completeness of the EWG's work. But really the question in front of us now is, do we respond to Steve's request and provide him with some GNSO expertise to work with board members and understand how this PDP might go forward? My feeling is we should. We've had a couple of names suggest. Now, here's what I was going to suggest to you, that perhaps we do a four-stakeholder group team that gives us four. Steve's asked for four or five, and possibly a member of staff who is very familiar with the PDP processes to assist. Now, I'm not suggesting that the stakeholder group participants won't be, but it just perhaps shores up the process point as well. So I guess that's my proposal to you, that we go back to Steve and say, yes, great, we'll work with you as to how to integrate the EWG work back into the PDP process. And for that, we offer you four representatives from the GNSO, one from each stakeholder group, plus a member of the GNSO policy support staff. How does that sound as a proposal? Is there any support for that? Or is there an alternative that, that someone might like to suggest? Amar.
Thanks, Jonathan. Amar again. I just typed something in the chat, and I don't know if it's actually possible from a process perspective or not, but I would imagine that the best way to integrate what's been going on with the expert working group, which, as far as I can tell, has been pretty much an ad hoc process with a regular board-initiated PDP, is to issue a new preliminary issue report on this PDP and allow for public comment on that, and then follow the normal path of a board-initiated PDP. Thanks.
Summit, to me, that feels like an interesting suggestion, but I kind of feel that that's what's being asked of this little working group, this little task force, to say, how do we get this whole thing back on track? So in a way, that suggestion is what it feels to me like should be fed into this little task force or working group, but maybe I'm missing something. But James and then Alan.
Yeah, so thanks, James speaking, and it seems like... I don't know. My head's kind of spinning right now, but it seems like this, the approach, and I think Jonathan, this isn't too far removed with what you're proposing. Is it sounds like we need a motion for the composition of a drafting team with the membership that you described that would actually take the recommendations and the final EWG report, and then construct a charter for PDP. And it sounds like what we're doing really is just laying out what the composition of that drafting team should look like and who should be on it and how large it should be. It sounds like that, it sounds like that is where we're headed with this. And I see I've got a red check mark with Avery. Please correct me, because I really don't know where to go with this thing.
Hey, Avery, would you like to respond directly to that before we pick up Alan and David in the queue?
This is Avery. The reason I put a check mark is I don't think we're at the point of a charter yet. We're at the point of figuring out how to move forward with this, how to restart the PDP, how to finish the issues report, how to then, so restarting the issues report, does that include doing a proper comment, then the issues report is finalized, then a charter group starts up. So I think this group is prior to that. It's figuring out the process to get us to the charter. Now, they may indeed be the ones that write the charter, but it wouldn't be a joint board / GNSO charter writing effort, though, of course, I see no reason why board members couldn't participate. It would have to be a GNSO chartering group. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Alan.
Thank you very much. With regard to Amar's point, I would strongly agree that staff cannot go from this where we are today to a final issue report. I think we need a cycle of them incorporating the EWG stuff and then going out for public comment. But I agree with you that that's probably an outcome of this group. Now, I disagree strongly with James of saying this is a drafting team. We have been complaining for years that the board shouldn't just go off in their private little conclaves and make decisions and then make pronouncements that we've said talk to us first. They're now saying we would like to have some board people and some GNSO people talk about how to go forward before we do anything or the GNSO does anything. This is what we've been begging for. So I think we embrace it. We've named some people who we think will be able to participate well. And with regard to your suggestion of having a staff person, I'm not sure we can volunteer a staff person, but I would like to think that the board would automatically include someone from staff who knows what they're talking about in relation to
policy processes. So maybe we don't need to do that, but it wouldn't hurt to suggest it. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And that's what I was probably saying, just to respond directly to that. I mean, I think we could, I think Steve would be perfectly receptive to a response from me, stroke us, saying we can offer you an expert team of four people to work with you to get this process back on track. Plus, we suggest you involve a member of the GNSO policy staff. But thanks for that input. David?
I generally wanted to agree with the point that I think a drafting team is premature. We're not at that stage, but also wanted to say that what we might end up getting here is not even simply a PDP. The EWG represents an enormous pile of work. This board group may decide to see if we can divide it into... Well, part of what they should be thinking about in the whole process is how to divide this into sort of more or less digestible chunks rather than having one giant working group to deal with an enormous number of issues. And it also, of course, we should bear in mind that Chris de Spain spoke in London about what other work needs to be done outside the GNSO, such as, you know, do we want a report from ESAC and a few other things like that. So I think this group will also be acting as a coordinating point for other things the board might wish to do on this topic, such as request reports from other ACs, from ACs and so on. So I do think this working group there's a need for it, and it may not be simply working through the GNSO process entirely. That said, the point on about staff is very true, but of course the board and the GNSO staff are not quite the same group. So I think definitely we should ensure that someone from the policy staff who really, really know the GNSO process very well is on there. But of course that's something we can suggest. I don't think it's... that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Thomas, and then I think we might have to bring this to a halt because although it's a pretty important topic, we've got quite a bit else to cover. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thanks, Jonathan. I may be mistaken, but I think I haven't heard an answer from the whole group saying yes to the idea of responding to this request and actually sending people to that group. If I'm wrong with this, then I would at least support the notion that definitely we have to send people, we have to send knowledgeable people. I think the GNSO needs to take back leadership of this issue, which I think was the fear at the time when the EWG was installed, that things would be dealt with outside the GNSO. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to regain leadership and gain influence on this topic. I would suggest that we do not fill the seats with staff, but when naming the GNSO's representatives, we should clarify that our expectation is that experienced staff people will also be joining the group.
Thanks, Thomas. Yes, to be clear, we've been asked to if possible, contain it to four or five people, and I in no way suggested that we should fill that with staff. And it certainly, it feels to me like from the GNSO point of view, we find it relatively easy, not completely, I acknowledge, to provide four people that are reasonably representative of the GNSO. So that's my suggestion. And to Alan's point, I mean, I think I just take minor issue, very minor, Alan, with the word begging. I think we've been working hard with the board to find ways in which we can work more constructively with them, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to do so. So I would advocate from the chair that we respond to this request, put our best team in there who know and understand GNSO processes above all, but who also ideally have some knowledge of the work of the EWG. So perhaps we can, having had this pretty in-depth and comprehensive discussion, we can put a call to the list for those four volunteers, and if there's a strong need to put a fifth in, perhaps we do that. Alternatively, we stick to the four and suggest, as I proposed earlier, that they certainly, the board considers having at least one member of the GNSO policy staff there so that they can also assist with knowledge of GNSO processes and ensure that we don't go off track there. All right, so I see a couple more hands have come up. I was hoping to draw this item to a close, but let me be respectful of your desire to give input. David, I think yours is an old hand, so I'm going to skip over that and go to Volker.
Yeah, I just would like to caution everyone that sending in a small team might be detrimental to both the process and the end result, and I think a broader approach might be warranted. This is one of the most revolutionary ideas and proposals out there for a long time, and this will cause a lot of change, and having a small elite group of people in the drafting team here as well might not be the best idea, and that before we go back to the board and name a certain number of volunteers, we should really think about if that's the right way to go forward or if we should push for a more broad group of people.
Okay. So you urging, Volker, that I don't bring this to a close at this point and we take it up on the list a little longer and see, or, I mean, this is not a drafting team, but perhaps I should encourage everyone to go back and look at Steve's note and look at exactly what he's asking and see if, having looked at that note again, maybe that's the right way to do it, that, you know, see whether you agree or then still disagree with this proposal to respond to it. Because essentially what he's asking is that we offer those people up to meet in LA to start the process of figuring how to reintegrate the work of the PWG with the PDP. Amma.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. This is Amma. Yeah, again, I wasn't very clear on what the purpose of this joint working group would be, and in light of the fact that it's more about the process rather than the substantive issues raised in the expert working group final report, I think we may need some more time to consider who we would like to be on this working group. So that's just my personal thought. Thanks.
Okay, well, I've made a suggestion for how we go forward, but I've had enough pushback to just approach it with a little more caution. And so here's what we will do. I will just as a reminder, I'll resend Steve's note, even though you've got it. I'll resend it and probably copy into that what this proposed solution is and see if there's either an alternative or support for that. And only once we get to that point do we then propose the actual members of that. So let's bring it to a close now. I'll pick up that action on this. And we'll try and come to some form of conclusion, but giving everyone an opportunity to just reconsider in the light of the discussion we've had now. So thanks. It's a pretty substantive issue, and this is a unique thing that's happened with the expert working group, so I understand why we needed to talk about it in a little more detail than it first appeared. Next topic on the action list is the CWG on Internet Governance Charter. I think... we need to take your point, John. Sorry, just to close that point, I do see your point that not responding is bad optics, and that's exactly what I feel, and it goes to Alan's point of, you know, that we've been seeking constructive engagement with board, GAC, and others, and it's a key kind of strategic objective of the council. So we mustn't, I agree, to that extent, we mustn't squander that opportunity. We have the respect of and the opportunity to work with the board, and we must take that properly. Happy to that we consider it carefully how we do that, and we will respond, and we must respond. Going on to the CWG on internet governance, it's also an optics issue. We've had the charter floating around on internet governance, and no councillor, let's put it plainly, no councillor has come up and made a motion to either accept or propose to modify that charter, and so we really do need to bring that to a head. I understand from John's useful report again on the CCNSO that they have now adopted that charter, and so it really does need a councillor with knowledge of that area to pick up on that and propose something. I suggest to the next council meeting as a motion, which is actually going to be the LA meeting. Any comment or input on that CWG on internet governance without us going into too much of a detail on just just an opportunity for anyone to comment or respond. Avri, I see a check mark from you. That's good. But I am relying on someone in the council to make this motion, so please bear that in mind. One of you who has experience and knowledge to bring that forward. Avri.
Jonathan, this is James. I apologize for interrupting. Can I get the queue?
Yeah, James, I've got Avri in the queue, and then I'll come to you.
This is Avri. I used to be a member of that group. I then became an observer of that group. I'm willing to work with people to help write up a motion in time for the LA meeting on it.
Thanks, Avri. And it may be instructive to look at what the CCNSO has just done. It may be helpful. It may not, of course, but they've just passed a motion to adopt that charter, so that may help you with a shortcut. James, I'll go to you, and then Amir, your hand is up. James.
I was just going to volunteer as well, so I volunteer to assist Amir.
Thanks, James. Amir.
Thanks, Jonathan. I guess we've had very little to say about this charter so far. I would recommend that we move forward and have something ready for LA, and thanks to Avri and James for volunteering to work on that. I don't know how the council would normally treat a charter for a cross-community working group so much as a regular GSO working group, but I would imagine that the council would either proceed with a motion if no one has much to add on it, as has been apparent since the last council meeting, or if there is a problem with it, then whoever on council does have any concerns should probably voice them, and perhaps we should send the charter back to whoever's drafted it and making those points clear and asking for some modifications. Thanks.
Yeah, and I would just make a brief comment there, Amir, on optics. I mean, yes, I agree with you on process, and ultimately, if that's necessary, we have to do it. But again, optically, it's not great to have effectively, the perception from the outside will be, we've sat on this for quite some time and not responded with requests for any change or modification. So I guess my opinion on this is, if at all possible, we should adopt it as is, unless we have serious concerns with it, given the elapsed time. But that's a thought. John.
This is John Gerard. Amr's comments, in my mind, reflect exactly the conversation we had at our last meeting, which I thought was going to trigger some reconciliation between the motion that was before us at the time and some potential out-of-camera view changes that were being contemplated to the charter. I thought that was why we didn't vote on it then, and I was expecting that that would be managed by and that we would be looking today at revisiting it, but clearly we're not. But am I mistaken? Are the questions that Amr is raising not the same ones that we raised and asked, we answered at our last meeting?
John, just to be clear, we haven't had that. This is the charter on internet governance from the cross-community working group. This is not on the transition, just in case there's any mixing up between the two on anyone's part.
I will admit to being confused from time to time, but I thought this was an Olivier-driven initiative, that what was before us then was somehow potentially going to be modified or needed to be modified, and that we would wait for that modification before we revisit it. I will admit to being confused, but I think that is my recollection.
Let me just make a point in case anyone is unclear on this. We had a charter that was put before us as a motion that we voted on. That charter was on the cross-community working group to deal with the transition, the stewardship of the transition. It was an ALAC proposed potential modification to that, but it was accepted that we could vote on the charter as is and potentially consider that modification as a subsequent motion. Put that aside. Then there is another charter which deals with the cross-community work on internet governance in general, and that charter has not been put as a vote or as a motion before the council at all. And that charter was the one that I understood from your report was voted on and passed by the CGNSO council today.
That's right, yes. Well, thank you for correcting my recollection, Jonathan.
No problem, John. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't talking cross purposes on the two, because there's a lot going on and there is potential for confusion. Avery.
Yeah, thanks. Avery speaking. So my view on it is, indeed, at the last meeting, there was no motion on it yet, but you've clarified that. At the last meeting, it was brought up that there may be issues. We basically went a whole other month without any issues being brought up on that charter. It sounds like whatever questions there had been in people's minds have either fallen away or been resolved. So that's why I think it's time now, especially with one of the groups having already approved it, for us to look at the charter as it stands and to vote it up or vote it down, or perhaps that will be the forcing function where someone will say, oh, wait a second, but there's an issue. But we basically last month said, if anybody has an issue, bring it up because we got to do something. And, you know, if I had been thinking, I might have tried to make the motion deadline for this one, but I was thinking, well, I'm not really a member of the group, and I'm not going to champion it. But at this point, with the CCNSO having done it, I think we should follow suit and either agree to the charter or be quite specific about why we can't. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Avery. I'm with you on that. So in the interest of keeping the meeting on, we'll accept your offer. Thank you to you and James, and we'll keep the process moving along. Right, so next item on the agenda is the letter to the NGPC regarding the proposed modification of GNSO consensus recommendations. I happen to think that we've got a good letter, and I'm happy for Thomas to introduce it or make any comments he would like to, or Mary. It feels to me like it's a great opportunity to clarify some of the concerns we had. We've had Chris talk to us previously. The letter now seeks to really firm up that position and say, we understand what you're saying, and it's A, B, and C. So frankly, I'm personally satisfied with the letter as it stands. I'm happy to put my name to it, but this is an opportunity to either get your collective support for that letter or any comments that you'd like to make on it, and then move on from there. So the letter is on the screen in front of you. Thomas, I don't know if you would like to say anything, or Mary. Please put up your hand if you do, and give you priority. Failing that, we'll go to the council for any comments or questions. Thomas, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I think you've done an excellent job introducing the topic, so I hope that this is an item that we can make some time with. But I'd like to stress that not only is the current status of the works of the GNSO encapsulated in this letter, but also that we provide some information on our understanding of what the NGPC asks of the GNSO Council. So the questions that we were speculating about in terms of the Trademark Clearinghouse, whether this is merely a post-registration notification or more, is specifically spelled out in this. And therefore, I think that Mary, who has drafted this letter, has done an excellent job, and if it were my position, I would also gladly put my name to it. But I think we should open it up for the councillors to ask questions.
Thanks, Thomas. I do have a hand up next, so let me just flip to that. It's Alan. Please go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't read the letter very thoroughly, but I think there's something missing from it. We correctly point out that we can only reconstitute or reconvene, whatever, the working group by giving them specific wording to approve or not. And we echo what Chris said, is that with respect to the Red Cross, we know what the demand is from
the GAC, but we do not know what the board is, what the new GTLD process committee wants to offer them. And therefore, we do not know the wording that, if we approved it, would make everything go smoothly. And I think Chris specifically said what we should ask them, what wording do they want us to approve? So adding something there, asking the new GTLD process committee, what exactly are you proposing that you will present to the GAC and hopefully they will approve, so we know what it is we're what wording we're prepared to approve. As it stands now, it's conceivable, I'm not saying it's likely, but it's conceivable, we could approve exactly what the GAC wants, and the new GTL process committee says, no, we're not prepared to offer them that much. So I think we need clarity from the committee as to exactly what it is they're prepared to offer the GAC so we can ratify it or not.
So I understand that that's precisely the purpose of this letter, and so having exchanged the relevant letters with the new GTLD program committee, Alan, we will then be in a position to give the guidance or make the appropriately clear request back to the working group according to the processes. So what I'm not clear on, and perhaps we need to take this offline, is what modification, well, we will need to take it offline. It sounds to me like you're proposing a specific modification to the letter. So,
Jonathan, if I may, maybe it's there and I've missed it, but I thought one of the things we are doing with this letter is asking the new GTLD process committee what is it they want us to approve with respect to the Red Cross. So far, all we know is what the GAC has asked us, and I don't see that question there.
Mary, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Hi, everybody. This is Mary Wong speaking for the transcript. Alan, you're right. It is not in the letter as specifically as to proposed language or the nature of the proposed amendment. And the reason for that, as you also point out, is, you know, we don't as yet know what the NGPC might be doing. So looking at the discussion that Chris had with the council earlier this month, it didn't seem that we were at a point where the NGPC had made a decision, and that discussion between the council and Chris was not specific on the nature of that recommendation. At the same time, in terms of putting it into the letter, there were a couple of choices. There are still a couple of choices, obviously. One is what's here, which may be a little too indirect, I suppose. Another is what you've suggested, which is to put something in and specifically ask, is this what you had in mind? If not, what would it be? And I think this is the purpose why Thomas and I, one of the purposes, are putting this forward, and as Jonathan says, for discussion prior to amendment or adoption.
Yeah, my quick answer, then I'll be quiet. My only concern is when they come back and say, yes, you got everything right, we still won't know what wording to put it when we try to reconvene the working group. And they may not know the answer yet, and they have some work to do, but I think we should be asking them.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Mary. Thomas?
It is my understanding that the NGPC asked us to implement exactly what the GAC has been asking for with respect to the RCRC names, which is why this was stated in the letter, and then two paragraphs later, we asked the NGPC to confirm whether our understanding is correct. So implicitly, Alan, the question is in the letter. Certainly, if you're looking for an alternative answer or variation of the protection that are asked for, then the question would need to be asked differently. But it is my understanding that this was the ask that was put before us and that we asked for confirmation whether our understanding is correct. Does that help?
I'll be leaving the council soon, so it won't be my problem. But I thought I heard Chris say that the NGPC had not yet made a decision on what to offer the GAC. They still had to discuss that. And until they finalize that and tell us the answer, I don't see how we can reconstitute the working group.
So can I just make sure I understand this? The letter is satisfactory as far as dealing with the IOC names. That feels, sorry, the, not IOC, these international organization names. But from your point of view, Alan, it's not satisfactorily clear in flushing out how to deal with the Red Cross names. Maybe it would be helpful to get some suggestions offline or as to how the letter might be modified. Mary?
Thanks, Jonathan. Mary again. And just to follow up on that, it may be helpful to clarify that the thinking behind this also is that this isn't a letter that the council then sends off and then immediately goes off and starts thinking about the language or nature of any amendments it might make. As Petter noted in the chat, there's nothing promised at this point except that the council is willing to consider it. So the assumption that I believe Thomas had, and in working with him, I think that was what we wanted the draft to say, was we're going to expect an answer from the NGPC and discussions or further discussions. And we don't say it in the letter, but I believe that Thomas and my expectation was that some of those discussions would occur in LA. So maybe it'd be helpful for the council to consider what sort of next steps in discussion. Could it, for example, be a topic for the board GNSO meeting, or should it be other conversations in or after LA? So hopefully this helps.
Absolutely, Mary. That's my understanding, that this isn't the end of it. I mean, I must say I'm not sure this may be too nuanced and detailed for GNSO meeting, but in any event, it's not the, this is not the last word on the subject. I suggest that you know, I take your point. I think it would be very good to get a variation of this letter off as soon as possible. To keep it, it's already been around a while. Can I ask for subject to, I mean, and the intention is not to get this letter off and then reconstitute the working group. There is no way I expect that we're going to try and reconstitute or make reference to the working group without some further steps, including a response to this letter. So can I ask that there is support to send a variation of this letter off with any input that Alan will help make over the next few days? Can I just see if there's any objection to that? Because I'd quite like to get some sort of response. I think we've got good clarification on the international non-governmental organization and international... I'm getting tongue-tied on this. IGO names. It certainly deals with the IGO names adequately, and it would be good to get something off. John?
So this is John Berard. Are you asking, Jonathan, for us to give you approval to revise and send, or to revise, let us see it, and then send? Which is the?
Well, I guess it'll be revised on list. So effectively, it's revise, review, and send. But it's essentially, I expect it to be materially the same, subject to some clarification from Alan in and around the Red Cross names.
Well, you have my support, and by extension, Gabby's. I have her proxy.
Thank you. Any concerns with that approach? Really, I'll ask for objections to that to make it simpler. Any objections to sending off a letter materially similar to this one, subject to to the wording relating to the Red Cross names? Right, I'm not seeing any objections. I know multiple attendees are typing, so that sounds like we have support to try and move this along. I'm going to close that item now. We just passed the top of the first hour, and we've got quite a lot to get through still. Mason Cole, who many of you know from his previous work in the GNSO and on the council, is available to us for item five. Felt to me in talking with Mason that this was a useful opportunity prior to us going to LA for the council to have the opportunity to hear from our liaison to the GAC and to just have understand as clearly as possible what the purpose of this role is and to question or comment on that. So that's what this next item is all about. Mason, let me give you the floor, and as we move into item five, then an introduction to the GNSO liaison to the GAC.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Mason Cole speaking. I see I have 10 minutes on the agenda. I don't think I'll need that long at all. I just have a brief presentation to share with the council about the organization work that I've tried to do over the last several weeks for the GNSO GAC liaison role. First, let me take another moment to say thank you to everyone on the council for their support of me for filling this role. I have no doubt that it's going to be a challenging role, but I'm looking forward to it, and I want to thank the council for their confidence. So, just in the way of a bit of background on me, many of you know this. We're getting a little bit of background on the call here, so maybe you can mute your line if you don't mind. This is just a brief overview of my past involvement in ICANN. Many of you know I was secretary and chair of the registrar's group. I served on the council for a term where I also served a year as vice chair. This is a quick rundown of my current roles in working groups. Some of those may, frankly, be cut back a bit because of the time the GAC GNSO role is going to take up. But for now, this is where I'm contributing inside the community. So in terms of objectives of the role, I derived this and the methods that I'm about to describe from the description provided by the consultation group that oversaw the creation of this role, and then just my own thinking. So in terms of objectives, the idea is to facilitate a good flow of information between the GNSO and the GAC, and by that I mean primarily from the GNSO to the GAC. The GAC has very much a desire to participate in GNSO policymaking when they determine that public policy applies. There's not really a good definition for what public policy means. I hope to help the GAC arrive at some sort of delineation of what that means so that they can selectively apply their attention to the things that are relevant to them when it comes to GNSO business. I'm sorry, did somebody have a question?
De todas maneras, va a haber que comprar cartuchos de la impresora.
Yep.
Lo comentaste el otro día. Se ve que estaba más asado de lo que pensaba los intervinientes.
Jonathan?
Mason, we need to call for muting the lines, please. Maybe you as well, though. I don't want to single you out unfairly, but if we could make sure that all lines are muted, please.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. So, in general, then, also assist with engagement of the GAC in GNSO processes where that's appropriate. So how do we go about doing this? There are a number of methods. One is my job is to neutrally and objectively represent and communicate policy work to the GAC so that they understand what we're doing. And by that I mean without regard or favor to one house or constituency or stakeholder group over another. I represent the entire GNSO. Second, provide updates to the GAC on PDP activities. Guide the GAC and opportunities for early engagement in GNSO work. I think this is where one of the bigger challenges is going to be. I do know that the policy staff team has done a very good job of condensing information from the policymaking community to the GAC, and the GAC is continually challenged to make use of that. Information and return to the council or GNSO policymaking groups in a way that's as constructive as they probably would like it to be. Just ensure that the GAC's ongoing understanding of GNSO methods and processes is complete. I know there's been some tutorials provided to the GAC about this. I intend probably to do something along the same lines, just as an introduction for the role. And then just provide the council itself with updates on GAC activity so far as those issues relate to anything that the GAC is interested in GNSO work. And then finally, work with the consultation group to develop specific mechanics for early engagement of the GAC. Current thinking about the liaison role, it's a one-year pilot program. It can be potentially renewed in late 2015 if the GAC and the council believe that it's been a useful a useful exercise. As I said, neutral and objective representation of GNSO work. An important role is liaising also with staff. I've already talked with Marika about getting briefing materials and a process for getting answers to questions and that kind of thing. And then otherwise just liaising with other working groups as needed to make sure that this role is up to speed on what's happening inside the community. So in terms of preparation between now and Los Angeles, I've conferred with council leadership, with Jonathan on a number of occasions. I'll continue to do that. Also talk with staff to get some assistance with policy briefings to the GAC. And, excuse me, I do need to speak with GAC leadership as soon as I can. I think one of the more important things to do here is set expectations about the role. What I don't want to do is inappropriately have the GAC believe that this is an advocacy role rather than an information-sharing role. So I want to be careful to avoid that trap. And then I'm also working on an opening presentation to the GAC for Los Angeles, which will include a review of council procedures, a review of current council work, and then opportunities for engagement. Alan, I see your note. I'm aware that there will be a new chair. That will be an opportunity for additional engagement. So in Los Angeles, my plan is spend some time having the role introduced to the GAC and then open up new relationships with GAC members, brief the GAC as I discussed. I'll probably spend quite a bit of time in GAC sessions that are not closed sessions, except for times when I need to be with the council itself to make sure that I'm up to speed on council work. And then debrief the council at the conclusion of the LA meetings on what happened with the GAC day by day. Okay, that's pretty much it. Jonathan, I'll turn the floor back over to you, although I'm happy to ask questions if I can.
Thanks very much, Mason. I see there's a queue of questions coming up, so I'll defer straight to those. John, you're first in the queue.
No, I'm just slow to take my hand down, sorry.
No problem. Thomas, next.
Mason, thanks for the presentation. I have one question for you, which I'm not sure you'll be able to answer. Now that we have you as the liaison, will you be able to address the GAC with information from the GNSO Council or the wider GNSO, i.e. would you have writing access to the GAC mailing list? You will remember that sometimes we wanted to send information or a letter to the GAC, and at least if my memory doesn't fail me, sometimes this communication has not really made its way to all GAC members, and I think it would be excellent if you could sort of take over the role of the messenger to the GAC and make sure that that the information that we want to be conveyed is actually being conveyed. If you don't know, maybe you can take that with you for your discussions with the GAC leadership team.
Right. Mason speaking again. Thank you, Thomas, for the question. I do have access to the list, although I don't have posting rights. I can request that information be sent to the broader GAC on behalf of the GNSO. I do have the privilege of requesting the floor in a GAC meeting if the opportunity presents itself for me to make sure that the council's view needs to be represented in front of the GAC. And just let me reiterate again that it's the critical role here is to transmit information from the council to the GAC and to ensure that the GAC is fully up to speed on what the council is doing. And if the GAC identifies a public policy role in which it wants to be engaged early on in a policymaking process, then I can help guide the GAC on where that would be appropriate to do. But mostly this is a flow of information from the council to the GAC.
Yeah, and just if you'll permit me, James, I'm sorry just to come in ahead of you on this and just to try and help with that, because I've obviously worked closely with the consultation group and so on, and clearly we're going into an area which some of us will have concerns about, but there's a history here of us coming to a late point in the process where the GAC is seen to get involved too late, or at least so late that it causes all sorts of problems. And we have, for example, an ATRT-1 recommendation that actively encouraged early engagement of the GAC. So a primary objective here is to ensure that the GAC is sufficiently engaged such that early engagement takes place. To be frank, it's not quite clear what we'll do with that early engagement. We have not yet properly worked out the mechanics of what we do there, and that gives rise to appropriate concern. And this is one, Mason's role as liaison is one remedy for to enhance participation, cooperation, and early engagement of the GAC. And we kind of, we're putting one fix in place without all the other fixes. So there's some risk with that. I thought it was worth probably making that point. James, go ahead with any comment or question you may have.
Thank you, Jonathan. I actually have several, so that I'll keep them very, very brief. The first one being that, yes, I agree with you that we, as a former member of the ATRT1 team, we definitely wanted to get the GAC involved in the policy development process earlier, and in fact as early as possible. However, I would point out that doesn't preclude their ability to or preempt their ability to get back involved at the end of the year. I'm picking up an echo or some background. I don't know if folks could make sure their lines are muted. And then I just wanted to thank Mason. This is a potential lightning rod of a position. I think he's definitely, you know, doing a huge service, not just to the GNSO, but the wider community by volunteering to become the link between these two organizations. I think that's important. The couple of questions I had, one is I think, Mason, you really hit on it, early on in your presentation, was that defining or establishing some guidelines of what thresholds or must be crossed or tests must be satisfied in order for an issue to fall into the realm of public policy. I think that's important. I think it's important, in the respect that it should at least impress upon the GAC that, just because something is important doesn't necessarily mean it's exclusively the domain of public policy. So I think establishing that will be important. I'm looking forward to not just the GNSO, informing the GAC, but I'm looking for the reciprocal side of that conduit as well. So, I wanted to look forward to that. And then the final thing, I had a question for Mason, which I think it's about three slides back when you were talking about the different presentations and materials that you would be preparing, not your opening presentation. I think that some of them were specifically about policy. I don't know if you can go back maybe one or two more slides. I must have heard it rather than read it. I wonder if it might be beneficial for one of the, and maybe not the opening presentation, but maybe perhaps a subsequent presentation to include an overview of the commercial industry, and I mean all aspects of it, not just the registrar, but also the other industry elements that have sprung up around the domain name space, as well as the technical, and again, keeping it a high level in an overview fashion, but the technical considerations of what is and what is not possible for a domain name, because I think that there might be some absence of understanding of those subjects on the GAC, and I think that those would be essential for the GAC to issuing its advice in not only a timely but also a really effective manner. So that's just my thoughts. Thanks.
Mason speaking. Thank you, James. I think that's actually a really good point. I know that during my time as chair of the registrars, that was always a continual challenge, making sure that the community understood where the difficulties might be and certainly in implementation of certain policies. So I think that's probably a good idea, and I'll take that suggestion gladly.
All right. In the interest of time, then I think we'll bring that item to a close. And it's, for me, of course, obviously, very grateful to Mason for making the time coming to this, and as James said, for taking on the role, which I think is challenging but interesting. But it's also important that we as a council, and hopefully those that listen into the recordings, understand and appreciate what is attempting to be achieved here. And so this for me forms not only an opportunity for the council to properly understand, but for the wider community to understand where we're going. And so that's hopefully we've made a useful contribution to that. Thanks again, Mason. I'm going to
sure.
move
thank you.
To yeah, thank you. And of course, you're welcome to stay on the line if you would so choose.
Well, I'll excuse myself now because I need to catch a plane. So thanks.
All right. Thank you again.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
We'll move on to item six then, which is an opportunity requested by James to bring you up to speed on the final recommendations of a working group that's part of a series of working groups that you'll be familiar with. And the objective here is to try and bring us up to speed so that we're in a better position to move this work along to the next level, i.e. potentially vote on the final report in LA. Thanks. Please go ahead, James.
Thanks, Jonathan, and I will try to keep my as brief and succinct as possible. The Inter-Registrar Transfer PDP Part D, so you read that correctly, the fourth in a series of PDPs, has now, as of Monday, concluded its final report, and I believe, if my understanding is correct, that was published today. So that was not only a long an intensive effort to get to the end of this particular PDP, but this is the fourth and final PDP in this series. So we are at the end of the end, and we're very, very pleased to be at this point. So what I'd like to do is quickly run through the final recommendations and then just kind of tee up this particular issue for our meeting in Los Angeles. Do I have control, Lars? I'll just scroll through, I guess. Yes, okay. Here's the background. I'm not going to read it to you because we just went through the interim report earlier this year, and we're in the open comment period in London. But we received a healthy dose of comments, and we've spent the time intersessionally between the London meeting and this Monday incorporating those public comments into our final recommendations, as well as some additional information that was raised during those deliberations, and the final recommendations reflect that sum total of work. So we addressed our six charter questions. We arrived at 18 policy recommendations, all of which are supported by full consensus. Essentially, we are introducing reporting requirements for disputes. That's transfer dispute protocol. We are addressing the scenario where a domain name that was acquired through a fraudulent transfer, typically known as a domain name hijack, is moved around through multiple registrars in an effort to launder the source of the transfer. We have, most importantly, removed registries as the first tier of the dispute process, and it will instead focus on the independent dispute resolution providers. We have extended the statute of limitation to file a dispute from 6 months to 12 months. All of these, of course, corresponding with recommendations in our initial report. We did not address the issue of disputes with inter-registrant transfers or when two claimants, individuals or organizations claim to be the registrants. We did provide, I believe, some help on that area by providing a list of use cases of different scenarios and pointing to existing policy where applicable. We did call for some improvements to ICANN's website for the presentation and centralization of information on dispute options. We examined the utility of the FOA, which is the form of authorization that is submitted for each transfer, and there were several individuals that believe that this is now obsolete and that the fact that we use an authentication password is sufficient to transfer a domain name, while others, including ICANN compliance, felt strongly that the FOA was still required.
But most importantly, and here's something that did not appear in our initial report, is that we have called for some future work once this IRTP is implemented and others are implemented to begin to gather data and look at the sum total of transfer to understand whether or not all of these new policies have improved the overall accessibility, understanding, and utility of the transfer function. It is far and away the most frequently cited policy in complaints to ICANN about registrars, and it is usually the general public's first exposure to ICANN, is that someone has taken their domain name or they're trying to transfer it and they're having problems with a registrar. And what we're asking is to begin the process of having a top-to-bottom review of whether or not these policies have succeeded in their objectives of improving that situation. And in order to do that, you need to have some measurements. So you'll see that the final report has some calls for measurements and data collection as well. So here's the next step. We're going to present the final report during our weekend session. We will table a motion for the council to vote on adoption of the final report and its recommendations. We will publish the final report for comment after ICANN 51. I believe Lars can correct me. I believe this is an optional step, but we will go ahead and take that option. And then we will expect the board to review and ultimately approve these recommendations sometime early next year. And I believe that's the end of the slide deck. So how did I do on time, Jonathan? I'm willing to answer any questions that anyone might have, but I don't see a significant departure from the work that we did leading up to the meeting in London, and I expect that this will be a fairly non-contentious subject going into L.A.
Thanks, James. We'll be well prepared for that, at least, and thank you very much for taking the time to do it. And do it quickly. Alan, your hand is up.
Thank you. I'd just like to commend James's chair and the group as a whole for the diligence and care that they put into this, way over and above what the charter called for, or I think some of the expectations. I was a member of the group, although not very active for much of its life, but I was really impressed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. It was good having you on the group.
Avri, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Avri. Not to repeat what Alan just said, but I joined the group halfway through. I joined in at the end of B or mid B, and have been amazed at the diligence. And you know, it has been extremely well chaired through the process. So I just wanted to basically say the same thing, that James has done an amazing job with that group.
Thanks, Avri. It's good having you on the group. Avri was also my co-chair for IRTPC, the immediate predecessor to this one. And I think what both Avri and Alan are referring to is that we received not only some new comments in the interim, but some new members joining the group that had some had some ideas and contributions that we were trying to incorporate into the initial report without diminishing the work that had gone into it previously. And I think we're able to achieve that.
Great, James. Well, fine compliments indeed. I think we need to be thinking about an award at the PDP Oscars or something. That's a trademark term, by the way. And so hopefully we can recognize you in some other way, but nice to get that from your colleagues. Good. Well, let's move on then and keep going to item 7, and we have someone who's patiently waited to talk to us on item 7. This is an important point. It's a little shame that Brett, who's leading the discussion group, isn't on the call, and we've already mentioned that. But Karen, it's great. Karen Lentz is on the call, and it'll be great to hear from you as to the recent staff work on dealing with subsequent rounds, as was requested from the council during the ICANN meeting in London. So let me just hand straight over to you, Karen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Karen Lentz speaking for the transcript. I sent earlier this week a report to the council that, as Jonathan said, was requested as part of a motion passed by the council during the meeting in London. on work and consideration and planning for subsequent application processes for GTLDs. So there were five topics that were requested in terms of a status report, and I thought I would just kind of give the highlights of those briefly and then turn it back to the chair for any discussion or questions. The first topic was basically the status of the set of applications that we've received and that are in process now. So there's a chart in the report that goes by phase with the evaluation processes, dispute resolution, contention, et cetera, and shows the percentage complete of each of those. The evaluation and dispute resolution are substantially complete in terms of phases. There are roughly half the applications that were determined to be in contention sets still remaining subject to some contention resolution procedure, and so that kind of drives the remaining phases for contracting, pre-delegation, and delegation because there are dependencies on when applications might come out of the contention process. So that's projected in there with our best estimates at this point. The second topic that was requested is a timeline and work plan for the review specified in 9.3 of the Affirmation of Commitments. So this is a review that really covers three areas. It calls for a review team to be convened to look at what the impact of the new GTLD program has been on competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. So new acronym for that is CCT. The affirmation also calls for that team to look at the effectiveness of the application and evaluation process, as well as the safeguards that were built into the program. And so particularly with regard to assessing competition, trust, and choice, preparations for that have been underway for a while with development of some proposed metrics for how you could evaluate what the impact has been in those areas. And then there were a few community efforts to do that. Most recently, there is an IAG CCT who has been involved in recommending to the board which metrics are the most useful and cost-effective to collect to help inform this review. They, that group earlier in the year provided an interim recommendation to do a consumer survey and an economic study as part of gathering some baseline data to help make those assessments, and so those efforts are underway as well as the collection of other baseline metrics. In terms of the other areas of review, we have some activity going on in those areas, which will also hopefully provide an input to this CCT review team, and which I'll touch on a little bit later here. In terms of the timeline, the current projection is for this review process to start about a year from now. That would enable, first of all, just more experience with the new GTLDs having been out there and in the market and used by people. And secondly, it will, there are also expected to be a range of TLD types out there. So you'll have IDNs, you'll have community-based TLDs, brand-related, et cetera. So there would be the full diversity of types that can be taken into account in that review. In terms of the process and timeline, once the review team is convened, it's, of course, up to them to plan and schedule their work. Typically, it's been with other review teams under the affirmation. It's been once the team is convened, it's been a 12 to 18-month process for them to come up with their recommendations, at which point the board considers those and determines which to take action on. The other point to make here on this review is also that it's a recurring review. So we're talking here about the first one, but we're not going to look at competition, trust, and choice only once. It will be an ongoing effort. The third area is asks for ICANN's work to date on evaluations of the first round. The name that we are giving to this is program implementation reviews. At least that's where the staff has focused currently in terms of looking at the implementation and operational aspects of having this application and evaluation process. We've tried there's a huge range of areas to look at, and so we've tried to come up with some structure for the way that we are evaluating the experience and trying to capture the lessons from it. We've tried to distill them into what are called in the report focus areas. So you'd sort of cluster a group of questions together that are related to some area. And then there's also kind of a list of dimensions so that for every subject matter area, you're also looking at things like timeliness and efficiency and cost and predictability and all these factors to make sure that there's a consistent level of review. So the outcomes, of this kind of depends on what what the analysis reveals. It's expected that we would provide this analysis with the community and discuss to provide it for review and comment and discuss that with the community, and that could lead to some projects related to operational improvements or implementation changes. The next topic that was asked for is a post-launch independent review of the Trademark Clearinghouse, and I'll actually go a little bit backwards on this area because there are several reviews that do relate to rights protection. So what we have been doing as staff is to gather statistics on the usage of the rights protection mechanisms so far on the Clearinghouse, on Sunrise, on trademark claims, on URS. So we'll have quantitative data. We're looking at the customer service questions and looking at trying to identify which areas seem to generate questions or confusion or comments. So we capture those topics of discussion. We've had discussions with the service providers, and we're planning for a session in LA, which is focused on gathering user feedback from those who've actually used the RPMs to make sure we account for that perspective. So this is intended to inform a couple of things. One is the independent review of the Clearinghouse, which was agreed to as part of discussions with the GAC previously. And so that data that we've compiled is intended to be an input to that, which is targeted for early next year. Then there's also, as you may know, a pending request from the GNSO for an issue report, that reviews all of the RPMs, including UDRP and the RPMs that were developed for the new GTLD program. So again, the work that we're doing now is intended to inform that issue report so that the data is available before that's created. And then finally, with this area and with the previous staff work that I mentioned on program implementation, both of those are also intended to be inputs to the CCT review team, as those areas are also called out in the AOC. Last point that was noted was the timeline. So there is a rough timeline included in the report that is focused on the review, that maps out the work that we know of is happening and how long we think it'll take. There are, of course, a lot of interdependencies between these tracks. So I've talked about most of the things that are on there. There is, if you're looking at the timeline on page 6 of the paper, there's a green line toward the bottom that describes denotes the GNSO activities. So we're aware of the formation of the discussion group and understand that the goal there is to identify areas where the GNSO may wish to initiate policy. And then, you know, once that's known, we can have a better idea of how to account for those plans in with the rest of the plans. So just to note that including this is really not an attempt to speak for the GNSO or try to schedule that work, but just to anticipate that it will probably be going on. And the last line at the bottom for next round development, which is really kind of in a dotted line, based on the outcomes of what we're calling the program implementation review, those projects could start as early as early next year, but it's fairly hard to predict right now what outcomes will lead to things that need to be built or designed, and so that's kind of a placeholder right there for now. Final point is that also earlier this week we published a draft work plan for the program reviews and assessments, and that's really intended to inform a session that's planned for the meeting in Los Angeles. It's substantially all of the information is the same as is in this report. It's a little bit more formal and has more detail in terms of board resolutions and such, but the content in terms of the plan is the same. So we're hoping to get input on that. And I will turn it back over to you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. That's been a very helpful overview. I had the chance to read the paper before. I'm certainly interested in the scope of the work. Any comments or questions? Yeah, I see a hand up from, not sure who got in first. Let's give you an opportunity to ask a question, Brian, since we haven't heard from you, I don't think, so far. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Jonathan. Brian Winterfeld from the IPC. Karen, thank you so much for the update. I know we've all been waiting for information on this, and it's nice to see such a detailed, organized report. Not surprisingly, I'm focused on the rights protection mechanism review aspect of this, and I noticed that the timetable looks at several different groups that are going to be taking a look at the RPMs, and I guess I'm wondering how those are going to be sort of coordinated or eventually tie together. So essentially, I'm looking at the GAC-mandated independent review that's slated for February 2015. Then the standing issues report on RPMs is scheduled for, it looks, around April 2015. And then 9.3 AOC review that's going to stretch into 2016. So I just wanted to kind of at least put a placeholder in. I don't know if you have an answer today, but it seems like it would be important to think about how these separate reviews will ultimately relate to each other and hopefully in a meaningful way, and that they can benefit from it. And then I also note that you mentioned sort of how the GNSO Policy Development process is sort of in nice green bar kind of across all of this, but how that's going to actually allow us time to do our policy development work after we've seen the reviews that are being conducted by those various groups.
Thank you, Brian. So this is Karen Lentz speaking. So it's an excellent question. If you look at the what the GAC requested, they named some specific things like exact match versus including other terms, which were topics of discussion at the time. I think it will depend somewhat on the on the terms of reference for that independent review and what exactly the outcome would be, whether it's operationally focused or would suggest items to feed into the policy process, et cetera. So that's something that is targeted to start but probably won't be completed by the time that the GNSO is deciding to whether or what policy work it might want to undertake in this area. So take your point, and if there's anything that we can look at to sort of refine that area and better sort of scope out those interdependencies, we'll do that.
Thank you, Karen. That's really helpful, and we'll of course take a look. And I know this information is pretty fresh, and we appreciate you sharing it with us again. And we'll definitely discuss with the IPC and come back to you if we have any suggestions or recommendations that we think might be helpful to further refine the processes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Brian, James?
Thanks, Jonathan, James speaking. And thanks, Brian. That was a good question. Karen, just real quickly, would you consider this work plan, you know, given what we know about the interdependencies and some of the other scheduling issues Brian raised, as well as just the general cadence of work at ICANN, would you consider this to be a best-case scenario? Let me put it this way, a fastest-case scenario, the fastest path?
Well, if you probably, yes, I would. You know, this is kind of, you know, the best that we can scope out at this point. I think it's also, there's probably, you know, other things that we haven't taken into account. You know, one of the, you know, types of feedback that we're expecting to get is, wait, you missed this or that, other things. So, you know, we have, you know, for the things which you can, you know, sort of put a timeline on, you know, like we have a project plan for executing the economic study. There's, you know, we can estimate the, you know, review team activities according to, you know, what previous processes have been like. You know, for the things which, you know, are staff work or engaging someone to do something, you can have a pretty good idea of, you know, of how long it'll take to do those reviews and create those inputs. What's harder to predict is the, you know, the discussions on the outcomes of those things. And, you know, like with the green line, it's, you know, at this stage, we don't know, you know, what's going to be the topic of policy discussion, or what the outcomes of that will be. So, you know, altogether, this is the best look, but, you know, I think there are probably things in it that aren't accounted for yet.
Karen,
thank you.
It's Jonathan speaking. Just to check, I assume you've got a session on this in LA. I'd imagine there's a dedicated session for this.
Yes, there is. It's on Monday afternoon.
Great. Well, thank you. We're at 10 minutes before the hour, and we've got two or three items we need to canter through, so I think we should appreciate that input, and we'll certainly come back to you in LA, either via a dedicated session or via the session you're holding on Monday. That's a very useful and much appreciated update to the council and through the council to the GNSO as a whole.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. All right, so I'm going to push us on then to the next three items. I think we can deal with these in the time allocated because I hope we can deal with them relatively briefly. Item 8 is just touches on the cross-community working group to develop the transition proposal. As you know, we approved the charter at the last meeting. And really, there's 2 points I would like to highlight and just see if there's any other comment or question on this. First is that the GNSO or has the opportunity to put forward up to 5 participants and an unlimited number of observers. But really, we need 4 or 5. And the reason it's up to 5 is to accommodate different groups and the way in which they break up and have requirements to sort of segment their interest in this kind of thing. So really, my purpose of having this on the agenda is to remind you that we need volunteers who are committed and going to be dedicated to doing this work. It's one of the most high-profile projects around, as you know, and there is a meeting scheduled for this group on the 6th of October, Monday, about 10 days from now. I can forward you the exact details, but it would be really good to make sure we've got the volunteers. Can someone help me and remind me if we have, for which groups we do not have volunteers yet, or whether, if someone from staff, perhaps? Thank you, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, just getting off mute, sorry. I believe we have volunteers from the CSG, I think it's Greg Shatton, and from the registrars, I think it's Graham Bunton, and we're still waiting for the registries as well as the NCSG. And, of course, you yourself, Jonathan, are a member as well for the council resolution.
So registries and NCSG, please, to the extent that I can do something about the registries, I will. So let's get a couple more hats in the ring of dedicated and committed volunteers to do this. And I think I'll leave it at that. There is an opportunity to interact with the coordination group at ICANN 51, which we may take advantage of. But in the short term, the most important thing to do is to get the team together and on the... Thank you, Avri. I note that the NCSG selection will be available soon. Interest of time, I'm going to move us along to item 9, which is this board working group on the nominating committee. Just to keep this high on the agenda of the council and anyone in the GNSO, this was a significant change proposed to the structure and organization of the nominating committee. If anyone wants to comment as to work, if it's going on in their groups in respect to this, and really my question to you is what, if any, action over and above that which may be taking place within the groups and constituencies should the council be doing? The public comment period on this is running from 21st of August to 21st of October. So we do have an opportunity to formulate something in LA, and there is a reply period from the 22nd of October. So there's a little time here, but any input you'd like to make now to keep this issue warm, it just seems to be such a significant change that I feel we shouldn't just let it slip past us with little or no comment or recognition. James.
Thanks, Jonathan. I would just perhaps suggest that one approach would be, in addition to anything that is submitted into the comments from individual organizations or from stakeholder groups, that the council itself consider weighing in on this in the public comment. I think it directly affects our visibility and ability to participate in this group, and I think that we need to take that opportunity to say so.
Thanks, James. So I think we'd encourage you and anyone else with a similar view to keep this issue alive going into LA. Alan.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that in addition to the obviously relevant to the GNSO change in representation and distribution, there are some other very substantive changes that are recommended, particularly the one about delegation voting. And that's a really major change from what I'm told from people on the NOMCOM, and I think that probably needs to be considered also over and above the obvious one of representation. Thank you.
Thanks. I wonder if there's anyone who's willing to put up their hand to potentially lead a council-based response, thinking of this very much from a council-GNSO-wide perspective in addition to specific stakeholder group perspectives. Any volunteers to try and draft up something? James?
So, hi. Thank you. James speaking. I'm tentatively volunteering to do that. However, I think that a council response should perhaps be withheld until the reply period to give us an opportunity to review and synthesize the responses that are received from the various stakeholder groups to make sure that there's no daylight in between the council itself and the other GNSO components.
Thanks. That's an excellent suggestion. It's consistent with one that John Berard has made in the past, so that's helpful. Well, let's keep it alive. Let's keep it on the agenda. That helps us to, I think we'll keep this on the agenda for LA. The reply period commences at or around the end of the LA meeting, so that's all dovetails together quite well. I think we'll draw a line under that now because of the time and just leave the last couple of minutes to hear any comment on the LA schedule. I know there's been work gone on in the background to try and build up the LA schedule under item 10. So you can look forward to hearing from me in particular on topics for our key interactions, as usual, with board, senior executive staff, and so on. And then I know under item 11, there is an opportunity for Jennifer Wolf to just give a quick plug for the participation in the survey. Jen, I don't know if you're on and you'd like to make a point here.
Yes.
But just before I go to you, I see David's hand's come up, and I suspect it's to do with item 10. So if you could just bear with me one moment while we take David, and then we'll switch to you, Jen.
Just to say really quickly, we have been working on the schedule for LA. We have sort of filled up Sunday with the normal sort of interaction with senior staff. We don't yet have final confirmation for a lot of them, so the timetables they're working on. But we will, obviously, on Sunday, we'll meet with Fadi, Teresa, I think Cyrus from GDD, and the, you know, the board, I think, are all sort of currently being juggled in the agenda. And we are shaping up to the Saturday schedule fairly firmly, and obviously, as usual, that will be mostly, you know, reports from working groups and so on. If anyone does have any comments on things that they would like to change for this, you know, it's still not too late, so please let me know. That's all, really. Yeah, we have a longer meeting with the GAC than normal to talk about the new liaison and various things. We will be, I think the Genesis review team is on the schedule. That's about it. Thanks.
Great, thanks, David. Right, so we've got two or three more minutes then just to give Jennifer the floor under any other business. Go ahead, Jen.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. This is Jennifer Wolf. Just to give a brief update on the 360 assessment and the review, I'm sure we'll have time to talk in more detail about what's been happening during the LA meeting, but since we just have a few minutes, just to let everybody know, so far we've only had five of the counselors complete the survey. I'll be sending out a follow-up note after this call, just reminding everyone, but we really need to have 100% participation from council members. The survey takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete if you just buzz through the questions. If you want to spend more time and provide more detailed responses, you could certainly do that. But just really want to encourage and ask all of you to please take some time between now and the Los Angeles meeting to complete the survey. It doesn't reflect well on the council if we only have five council members willing to take the time to provide feedback. So please, please take some time and complete the survey between now and LA. We have made the decision to extend the survey process through the Los Angeles meeting. It'll be announced during the opening ceremonies. We'll be promoting it throughout the week so that we can hopefully get more participation. We've only had 133 people so far complete the survey, and we'd like to see some much bigger numbers. So we'll be talking more about it in the LA meeting, but for now, please do take some time to complete the survey. I'll send out a link. It's very simple, but very much appreciated and helpful to us in terms of a public perception of the council to see that we have 100% participation by everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Really good point. So I don't know whether we should go so far as to name and shame. I can say I have not yet filled it in, but I will do so, and I'll just support you in encouraging everyone to do so. I think the least we could do is support you and support our work by doing that. So strongly echoed. David, I think your hand up was from the previous item, so if you could just let me know. Okay, good. Right, we hit exactly on the top of the hour. Can I just check if there's anyone else needs to say anything under AOB? Well, thank you very much, everyone, for a well-timed and constructive meeting. I think we've covered quite a lot there, and that's a useful discussion. I know we spent quite a bit of time on the EWG work, but that's obviously very important and unique situation. So thanks for helping us make up the time and for the contributions during the call. I think that finishes the call, Glenn, so we are in a position to stop the recording and wish everyone a successful evening and rest of the day, depending on where they are.